Good morning. Take your Bible and turn with me to Revelation chapter 5 for our scripture reading this morning. Revelation chapter 5, and we'll begin in verse 1 and read down through the end of the chapter. Revelation chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.' And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.' And the four beasts said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for, again, just a little glimpse of what heaven is going to be like. Lord, what a scene that is given to us here. And Lord, you're worthy of it all. Lord, we just thank you so much for providing, again, just this glimpse of it. And Lord, I just pray that every single day we would do our best to give you the honor and the glory that you deserve. Lord, as we're on this earth, we every day have a choice to do that. And I just pray that we would choose to do that. And as we go on to eternity someday, Lord, every single day, almost at every moment, Lord, we're going to be doing that. And we look forward to that. And Lord, you are again deserving. And Father, I just pray that you'd speak to us from this passage this morning. Use it for your honor and glory. Be with preacher, help him, strengthen him, fill him with your Holy Spirit as he speaks to us. And I just pray that we would be open to exactly what you have for us. Lord, we need you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to continue our study in the book of Revelation. This morning we're talking about worthy is the Lamb. There's some notes on the back of your bulletin if you'd like to fill those out as we go along. And I want us to think about this subject and thought, worthy is the Lamb. The scene in Revelation chapter 5 is in heaven, right after the rapture of the church, which takes place back in chapter number 4, in verse 1, it says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." So after the rapture of the church, we are looking at the throne that we talked about in chapter 4, and now thinking of the worthy Lamb that opens the book. Let me ask you a personal question this morning. Think about this for just a moment. Do you have a cause worth living for? Do you have a cause worth living for? Let me ask you another question. Is what you are living for worthy of Jesus dying for? Let me give you a third question. When you get where you're headed, where will you be? Those are some pretty serious questions for us to think about in our own personal lives. We're all headed somewhere. And when we get where we're headed, where will you be? Well, we think about that in relationship to eternity. And if you know Christ as your Savior, we're headed for heaven. Amen? We get there, we know where we'll be. But what about our life? I want to talk to you about living a life that is worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about worthy is the Lamb. Is our life worthy of the Lamb? Someone made the statement, they said, many of us are shoveling smoke and plowing water. Well, that sort of describes some people's life, doesn't it? They're not accomplishing much in their life. After it's all over for us, will it make any difference? Will your life have made any difference to those that are here on the earth? A Reader's Digest article once said that in order for a person to be happy, for a person to be fulfilled, for a person to have a meaningful life, they need three things. Number one, they need someone to love. Number two, they need something to do. Number three, they need something to hope for. Someone to love, something to do, something to hope for. And I think they're basically right, but they didn't give to us the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. Amen? He's all three of those things. He is the one that we love. Amen? He's the one that we serve. And He's also the one in whom we have our hope. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Revelation chapter 5 is, I think, one of the most glorious chapters in all of the Bible. The title of the message this morning is He is Worthy, or Worthy is the Lamb. I could have entitled the message, Oh, What a Savior, because He is a great and wonderful Savior. And those terms mean exactly the same. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, what a Savior. Jesus Christ is the only one that's worthy of our love and our life and our all. And we'll never have satisfaction in our life, and we'll never have true fulfillment in our life, and we'll never understand why we were made or why God created us until we come to the place where we worship the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is worthy of our worship. There are three things that I want to say this morning about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we may not have time to get through all of them. If we don't, we'll finish them tonight. But first of all, let me say that Jesus is exclusively worthy of our worship. He is exclusively. Now, what do we mean by exclusively? It comes from the word exclude. That means we exclude everything and everybody else, right? He is exclusively worthy of our worship. We read in verse number 1, John is in heaven and he says, And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book. Now we understand in John's day, a book was not a book like we have in our hands. You hold a Bible in your hands. Some of you have an iPad of some sort or a phone of some sort, but most of us have a Bible, and that's a book, right? They didn't have the book printing process that we have today. So what was John holding, or what did John see the angel holding in his hand when he said he saw a book? What was it? A scroll, wasn't it? It was a scroll. It was something that was rolled up. And he goes on to say, a scroll written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Verse 2, And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy? Now this is the whole question. Verse number 2, the end of the verse, it says, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Now, what is all of that talking about? Well, When God created the world, God turned this world over to Adam, didn't he? And in a sense, God said to Adam, Adam, you're the king of the earth. And Eve, you're the queen of the earth. I want you to have dominion over it. I want you to be over the earth. But then you know the story. Satan came into the Garden of Eden. And as you remember, Satan beguiled Eve and ruined Adam. He was what we would call today a con artist. Amen? He's still a con artist. He's still conning people today. And Adam and Eve, in a sense, sold the farm to him, and he went away with the title deed to the creation of this earth. And they took that dominion that God had given to them, to Adam and Eve, and they turned that over to Satan. Now, let me give you two or three scriptures that point that out. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19 says, "For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage." Satan overcame Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and therefore they became of Satan, you might say. Did God recognize the slavery? Yes, he did. They became enslaved to sin. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 6, when the devil came to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ, you remember, in the wilderness, one of those temptations that were given to him there was that the devil would give to Jesus the kingdoms of this world. Adam and Eve had given that title deed over to the devil. And now the devil is saying to Jesus, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you that title deed to the earth. And it says, "And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give unto thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will give it." Adam and Eve gave it to the devil, and the devil is going to now offer it to the Lord Jesus. It was delivered to the devil, the power of the world, the glory of the world. And Jesus, in a sense, said to the devil, "I have the power to give it to you." You see, the devil legally had the power to give it to Jesus, but he's still God of this world, amen, or God of over everything. Satan's the God of this world. And Satan was saying to Jesus, if you'll just bow down and worship me, what I took from Adam and Eve back in the garden, I'll give it to you. In other words, he was trying to offer Jesus a shortcut to what we read in Revelation chapter 5, to the title deed, to the book that was in the hand of the angel. And you know what? It's interesting. Jesus did not say to the devil, "It's not yours to give." He didn't say that. Because Adam had lost it. He had lost it legally. And so Paul called the devil in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5 the god of this world or the god of this age. Now that god is a little g. It's not a capital G. It's a little g. He's the one at this point who has the title deed. It was foolishly lost. It was legally lost. I know of a man whose father gave him a brand new car when he was a youngster. And you know what he did with the car? He gave it to somebody else. Now, if you're a dad here and you bought a car and gave it to your son and he gave it to somebody else, how would you feel about that? You wouldn't be real happy about it, I don't think. But this young man gave the car that his father had given him to someone else. And he did it legally because it was his car. God gave to Adam and Eve dominion over this world, and Adam gave it. He delivered it to Satan. It was legally lost, and it had to be legally regained. And so here in Revelation chapter 5, you have the book. In his right hand is the scroll, the book. What is this book? What is this mysterious book? It is the title deed to the creation. It's the title deed to the world, title deed to the earth. And Jesus has to gain it back. Now here's another interesting scripture. Over in Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 25, it says, "If thy brother be waxen poor, and has sold away some of his possessions, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then he shall redeem that which his brother sold." In the Old Testament, God gave the land to the people. He gave the property rights to the people, to the nation of Israel. And it was God's to give, and God gave it to the people. Sometimes a man would foolishly lose his property. Sometimes he might become so poor that he had to sell it, and he would turn it over to someone else. But God had a way that that property could be redeemed. It could be bought back. There had to be a redeemer. There had to be somebody that was wealthy enough to pay the price to buy it back. And that person also had to be a near kinsman. They had to be a relative of theirs. And if he were a near kinsman related to the individual that lost the property, and if he had the wherewithal, the financial ability to buy it back, then he could do what is called redeem. He could redeem it. And isn't that what salvation is all about? God has redeemed us, hasn't he? He created us, and we belong to him. But Adam and Eve sold the rights and everything to Satan. But Jesus went to the cross at Calvary, and with his own blood, he had the wherewithal to purchase our redemption. And he paid the sin debt for our sin, and he bought us back. And so here, this book of the book of the creation, the book of the earth, it is the book, you might say, of redemption. The title deed to the earth that the Lord Jesus Christ bought back. Jesus is our near kinsman redeemer. He is God, but he also is man. And Jesus bought back what Adam had forfeited and what Adam had lost in the Garden of Eden. Jesus bought it back as our near kinsman. That's the reason why he stepped out of heaven and became a man. He became our kinsman by becoming a man. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas time. God became man, the incarnation, God becoming man. And so God became a man so that he could redeem us, so that he would have the price of redemption to pay, and then he would also be the kinsman to us. Of course, that price we know is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, back in Revelation chapter 5, John sees the book, and the Bible says that John wept when he saw that book. He sees the book. He wants the book to be open. He wants the seals of the book to be broken. But the angel gives him a challenge. The angel says, who is worthy? Who is worthy to open the book? Who's worthy even to look upon the book? Verse number 2 says, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Now, in order for a person to be worthy to open that book, there were two things. Number one, they had to be a kinsman redeemer. They had to be a near kinsman to us. Number two, they had to have the ability to pay the price. No man in heaven, none of the saints, Peter, James, Paul, Andrew, Moses, David, none that were in heaven were able to open the book. No one on earth, no man anywhere around. John, as John looked at those that were living, as he looked around at the saints of all of the earth, there was none living that could open the book. There's none living today that are worthy to open the book. If we could look to all the kings, and if we could look to all the presidents, there would be none that is worthy. By the way, it doesn't say who is willing to open the book, does it? It says who is worthy to open the book. There's plenty willing. Mussolini was willing. Hitler would have been willing. Genghis Khan would have been willing. Charlemagne the Great would have been willing. Napoleon would have been willing. They're all willing, but they were not able. The Bible says, no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth. There's no demon spirit who have, there's none that have died. There's none that have gone on ahead. There's none that are in the underworld. There's none that are able to open the book, neither to look upon the book. And so John begins to weep those salty tears as he looks, and no one is worthy. In a sense, John is thinking, is there no hope for the planet Earth? Yes, surely there is somebody who is worthy. Surely the redeemed are in glory, those who are already in heaven and are around the throne. What about on earth? There's nobody on earth that was worthy. This dominion that God made, is the devil going to get to keep it? Is he going to get to keep it forever? And John's tears, I think, represented the tears of all of the people who were also asking the same question, who is worthy? From the time of Adam and Eve, from the time that their son took the life of another one of their sons and shed the blood, that son that was murdered by his brother. And John weeps, and through all the years, the world is filled with tears and saturated with buckets of blood and oceans of tears. And John says, is there no hope? Is there anyone worthy? Yes, we've been redeemed. But what about the earth? What about God's creation? And John begins to weep. If you look at verses 3 and 4, it says, no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Now, why could nobody do it? Why could no one open it? Because all of those who have gone before us were the same as we are. They were slaves to Adam, they were slaves to Satan. You see, Adam, when he sinned and fell in the garden, became a slave to the devil. He was brought into the bondage of sin. And now the child of the slave, the son of the slave, is a slave himself. All of us were born into slavery, weren't we? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all been born as sinners and in need of a Savior. We're all born as slaves to Satan, descendants of Adam. And not only does the master own the slave, but he also owns all that the slave owns. And so now the devil, in a sense, owns Adam, but he owns all that he owns. He owns the world, the earth. And so the slave becomes bankrupt. There's no way that we can redeem ourselves. There's no way that we can redeem the earth. There's no way that we can buy back what Adam lost, because we do not have what it takes to redeem the earth. And that's the reason why Jesus came to earth. He came as the second Adam to undo, to put back what Adam lost in the Garden of Eden. By the way, that's why he was born of a virgin. You see, had he not been born of a virgin, he would have been a son of Adam just like we are. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, the sin nature is passed through the man. Now, that doesn't mean you women aren't sinners. God knows that's not true. Amen. But the sin nature was passed through the man. And had Jesus been born of a man, he would have had the same sinful nature that we have. Thank God he was born of a virgin. He didn't belong to Adam. He didn't belong to Adam's race. He was not a slave. The Holy Spirit of God came upon Mary, and the Bible says that which was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. In that womb of that precious woman, God placed the seed that would become the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, though he's a perfect man, made of a woman, he's not the son of Adam. He doesn't have the sinful nature. He was born a virgin to be what he was, and that is to be the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And he was sinless so that he could do what he did. He went to the cross and died and paid our sin debt so that we could have eternal life. The Bible says we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without spot or without blemish. Jesus had to be a perfect, sinless, spotless sacrifice. He could not offer any corruptible sacrifice. Only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, only the sinless blood of Jesus Christ could pay the debt of our sin and purchase our redemption. And so the Lord Jesus Christ stepped out of heaven, and the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth to be exclusively worthy. There's absolutely no way, not one scintilla of an iota. Somebody said not one half of a hallelujah chance that anybody, anywhere, could ever be redeemed apart from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through Him. You may say, well, preacher, that's narrow. Well, yes, it is narrow. You got it. You say, well, you're bigoted. Well, don't call me bigoted. Call Jesus bigoted. He's the one that said in John 14, 6, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. He didn't say, I'm one of many ways. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. In Acts 4:12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. None other name. Doesn't say he's one of many names, he's the only one. There's none other. And Jesus Christ is exclusively worthy. There's none other that are worthy. No one else could do it. And John says there's no one in heaven, there's no one in earth, there's no one beneath the earth, there's no one that's worthy to open the book. If you were to take the billions of people on the face of the earth today, and if somehow we could line them all up in a line and put a receptacle at the end of the line and let everyone as they pass by put all of their goodness inside of that receptacle, there would not be enough goodness to make a person worthy to open the book or to redeem mankind. That one man was the only one that was worthy to open the book. There's only one that could do it. That's our near kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price. Jesus Christ is exclusively worthy. And I think all of us agree to that. Amen? And so John, when he sees the book in verse 1, I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book, a scroll, written within on the inside and sealed with the seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seal thereof? No man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and hath loosed the seven seals. Now there's an interesting thing, and we'll come back to this tonight. He says in verse 5, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But look at verse number 6. And I behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a what? A lamb. John was looking for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but he saw a lamb as it had been slain, having seven heads, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God set forth in all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, what's the next three words? Thou art worthy. Who is worthy? Say it with me. Thou art worthy. There's only one worthy, isn't there? He is exclusively worthy. Tonight we'll come back and look at the second thing, and that is he is exceedingly worthy. And we'll see why he is exceedingly worthy. Let's bow our heads together for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for our wonderful Savior who is exclusively worthy. There's salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not any other person. No one in heaven, no one in earth, no one under the earth. No one worthy. But oh, how we thank you for the Lion of the tribe of Judah and for the Lamb of God that is worthy. And Father, I pray today that you'll help each one of us to understand that our salvation is not purchased in any other way than through the Lamb of God, the one that is worthy. Our church membership isn't worthy to get us into heaven. Our good works is not worthy. Our baptism, our communion, our confession, anything else we depend on, it all falls short of being worthy. Thou art worthy. Lord, I pray that if there's one person here today that's never trusted you as Lord and Savior, that today they'd open their heart and life to you and be saved. Give their life to you. And then, Lord, help us who know you. May we be a part of this group, and we will be someday for all of eternity. But even now, may we proclaim the message, Thou art worthy. May we point other people to Jesus Christ and tell them how they can be saved and how they can come to know you and give praise and honor and glory to you. You have made us for that purpose, to praise you. In fact, you said you inhabit our praise. Would you help us to lift up your name and point others to the Lord Jesus Christ? We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.